Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Ich bin ein Hamburger on FSK 93,0.
Look at you.
My name's Andrew, or Clappy McStrool, if you want to call me that. And I'm here with our lovely co-burgers. Firstly, Susan. Hello, Susan.
Hello, Clappy. It's so good to be here in studio again.
And then Shervin the Pervin.
I'm so glad that my voice can be echoed throughout the airwaves at a reasonable height with this microphone.
Bless it's reasonable soul. Enough for you.
Yeah. For people who missed the last episode, there were some complaints about Shervin's sound quality, and we have rectified that, and hopefully everybody is happy now.
This is the way God made me. We didn't. A loud voice, and I don't even believe in God. That's just the way it goes.
We didn't get any feedback from Citizen M, did we?
Citizen M?
Citizen M?
No.
How about
if
Citizen...
you're out there, Citizen M, feel
we
free.
Would love to hear.
Feel I don't want to hear Citizen M.
Or maybe that just means he's happy. Maybe
I think
he
Citizen
or she...
M is actually somebody closer than we think.
We don't
I think
know.
It's somebody closer. Very specific complaints. Very specific request.
I have no idea who you're talking
now
about.
Now the Citizen
nobody
M conspiracy
in this room,
theories
nobody
come
in this
out.
Room has a name that starts with an M.
I know.
Emanon.
Yes, you know.
How convenient.
How convenient. Nobody has a...
Nobody in this room has a name that starts with an M.
Citizen M. I wonder who it could be.
Anyway.
They always say...
Citizen Merkel?
Yes, it was Merkel who actually wrote personally telling me to
you
shut
You don't know
up.
What they do, what she does in her spare time?
True. I'm sure she listens to community radio and evaluates the sound quality and
that's
levels. That's her,
you know,
like,
it's a jam.
Moving on to our newest citizen on the show, Citizen I.
Citizen I.
I for Isabel. Hello, Isabel.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming.
Mm-hmm.
So this is our burger family. So we are all hamburgers. But we kind of change each month based on our mood, what style of hamburger we are. So going around, I don't know.
Yes.
Susan?
I'm like one of those like super spicy burn your mouth burgers with like jalapenos and horseradish. Because, you know, it's spicy times and I'm all fired up and I'm ready to burn somebody's mouth.
Like jalapeno sauce.
Jalapeno sauce. What else is spicy?
Little, I don't know, mustard. Is
mustard,
there any mustard on there?
Horseradish. What else
you
is spicy, Shervin? Tell me something. Hot sauce? There's hot sauce on there?
Ketchup.
Hot ketchup?
Hot ketchup. You're full of ketchup.
And is like it? The Dijon mustard?
Germany,
or like the spicy Schaff-Senf. That's
is
on
it,
there,
is it, are you
it's
so
really
spicy?
Spicy though.
There's like
a spicy.
Well, okay, it's spicy,
spicy
by German standards.
Spicy.
There's
that's,
a spicy by German
standards. That's sharp. You know sharp also means sharp, right?
Yeah, well, you know.
So it's sharp mustard.
Okay, so what's spicy
mustard.
In German then, if it's not sharp?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
it's
so
both.
There we go.
It's
okay,
both.
Okay.
And
what a convenient language. Sharp and spicy. Wow, that's a sharp messer. No, it's a spicy messer.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know.
That's me, though.
But can you taste you, or is it just burning?
My mouth is burning, but I also want to inflict
like
this on other people.
Yeah.
I want my rage, too.
You got a lot of rage in you.
I got a lot of rage. Angry times. People are mad. And, you know, if you've seen the footage out there of cops murdering people of color and, you know, shooting rubber bullets at innocent, like, peaceful protesters, you should get mad, too, because I don't think there's any way you can look at that footage and not be mad.
Unless if you're a racist.
Unless if you're a racist.
And if you're a racist, you probably need, like...
Probably mad anyway. Probably always mad.
Yeah, racist? Racist just probably have small...
They're just mad. They're just mad because the world is changing and it's leaving them behind and their worldview doesn't work anymore.
Good.
Yeah. And you know what? They can die mad about it.
Wah. Now we need the sound effects.
Yeah,
this
we
is
need
where
sound effects.
I gotta get that
be
Jim Cramer soundboard.
Yeah.
No. Let's contact Jim Cramer immediately.
Play the world's smallest violin. Just a sound clip of that.
No, the world's smallest soundboard.
Yes.
All right, and what burger are you?
I'm a...
Sherva burger.
Damn. Well, I've been pretty outlandish and very extravagant and diva-ish, as you just called me a little while
ago. You're being
ago.
A bit of a diva.
I mean, Are you using, I don't even know if that's a, is that a compliment or are you insulting me for being a diva? I don't know.
Depends if you're actually a diva or not.
I don't, yeah.
so a diva, you know what,
successful diva, and people are like, wow, you're a diva, like, thank you.
So a diva, for example,
I am a diva.
Is Mariah Carey, who, like, will demand that Disney World be closed entirely so that she and her two children can go through all on its own.
That's because she's loaded.
That's because she's a diva, and she'll make those demands.
But she's a diva.
But the fact that, no, because lots of rich people are not that entitled. Mm-hmm. But a diva will be like, I deserve this. Oh, I need my voice to overpower.
But if you said to Mariah Carey, you're such a diva, do you think she would? You know,
she'd agree.
Indeed.
Yeah, indeed.
I mean, Beyonce probably would, too.
The diva.
She is the
exactly.
diva.
Then
exactly.
Diva offs when, like, yeah. Beyonce and Mariah Carey are in a yeah. room and it's like, diva yeah. off.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess
yeah. Beyonce player. Has a whole song about being a diva.
Yeah, that's right.
A diva is the female version of a hustler. I'm not going to do the whole song.
We can't afford the copyright.
Like yes. They're going
to
be like,
right,
no, Susan, she did such a perfect rendition of Diva by Beyonce.
We're
and couldn't tell who, we couldn't tell
Show's
who the real, the original musician was. Yes.
Yeah. And then Isabella newest burger. What?
Oh, did you say what burger?
Yeah,
you
I said I'm a
diva burger?
A diva burger.
That's
diva
what
burger.
Okay, never mind.
I got a lot
Forget
of opinions.
I'm
no,
sorry
he's a very, is a very, like,
I didn't
you
get
know
that.
You get these super luxury burgers at Otto's or that are like, you know, prime grilled Angus beef.
No.
With,
I'm sorry. I didn't understand
truffle.
That a diva burger
yeah,
was
with
a thing.
Truffles
I just talking about
from
being
the mountains
a diva.
Of Switzerland,
yeah, my
lightly.
My burgers are more like a metaphorical burger. They don't have to be real ingredients. They could be characteristics of humanity shoved into a burger through its essence.
Yeah.
I contained
the cheese was milked by soft hands of a
blind children.
Yeah.
Yeah, blind children is what I got. Hey.
And the cows are blind too.
Everyone's blind apparently.
So they don't see the bad in the world.
Yes,
so
no.
They're very pure.
They're very pure.
Diva
blind
burger.
Cows or blind children?
Both.
Both.
Bats are not pure though.
Bats are not
even
pure.
Even though they are blind.
Shout out to bats for giving us COVID-19, you fucking turds.
Not proven.
They just
not
got
proven.
Eaten. Come on.
Is that
it's
proven
not their
yet?
Fault.
Bad actually, burger. Actually.
I don't think it's
no,
proven
no.
yet.
Actually,
is it?
Actually, bats are. I was watching something on PBS. Shout out to PBS. That's right.
No,
public
wait.
Broadcasting
like
station.
Yeah.
Kind of.
And basically, they did one on a special in Southeast, or no, Southwest China, and they're discussing how virologists go down there. And bats are a problem because apparently bats are carriers of these mutated diseases. And apparently Chinese tourists, they go inside these caves, and one of his biggest worries is that basically bad shit and piss is gonna it can fall into a person's eyes or mouth.
Ugh.
And then they get sick and they spread it.
And also like because this is so bad for humans and it's deadly potentially, it's because the bats they can have a higher core temperature. They can go like up to maybe 39 degrees. So the virus is already like used to the human fever thing.
That's terrifying.
So only you have to have very high fever to try to kill it. So
that's terrifying.
That's why they think about the bats, because they have this like they're mammals, but they also have a higher temperature, core temperature.
That
so.
Is
terrifying.
That's
they
fever,
can breed.
Fever divas.
That's how Batman scared the criminals. He was like,
they can breed the virus.
He's like coughing on all the criminals. Like he's like, I'm gonna give you a disease. Take that, Joker. You won't survive that fever this time. And that's it. He just kills all of his.
Anyways.
I'm sleep deprived, so just FYI.
Mm.
Do you?
I take a vegan burger today. I think because I usually love my chicken burger, kind of like I'm this person, but recent events with the meat industry, they're once again kind of dragging me more
causing,
to the side of going vegan or vegetarian again. So
what do they do
today?
What
like,
do you
do now? They didn't hear.
What happened?
Oh, we can talk about
kind
it.
Of
yeah.
Like, yeah, they had this. There's this one big like slaughter, kind of like meat corporation in Germany. They're in Gütersloh, and they had just there's like thousands of them are now have contracted the virus.
Oh yeah,
this
yeah.
Is
a,
because
this is
also,
right.
But also like the working conditions are very like
they're bad.
a bit like the people working on the fields, you know, getting the Spargel for the Germans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they also like they come in like then like big kind of like rooms with like 8 people or whatever, and then like kind of like have to work, and it's very.
Shitty.
It's a global problem. Like this happens a lot in the U.S. as well. All these meat processing.
Mm-hmm. They had to shut down a shit ton of meat factories over there.
This leads into our.
They get paid super shitty because they kind of like they are like this. They're under special contracts where they're like employed by somebody in their country, like, mm-hmm. and they don't have this Mindestlohn that we have here in Germany. So
yeah,
it's all this kinds feels of like fucked up. So
yeah,
if not for the animals, then today I'm going vegan also for this reason. Yeah.
That's a good reason.
Yeah, sounds good.
That's a good reason for
like
the season.
I've done it
to be
before.
Vegan.
I can do it again.
Sure thing.
Okay. That brings us into our corona update. Yes. Yet again, it's time for our corona update. I'm your.
You gotta get more pizzazz. Like, welcome.
Welcome to Corona Update.
It's me, Tom. Tom Thompson with Jim Jimson and Janice Jansen. How are you all doing today? Let's get on the next Corona Update. Jim, what do you
have
for us now?
I'm coming from the Corona Chopper and we're circling around the meat processing factories all over Germany. We do see that there seems to be a lot of Corona cases from the heat scan temperature guns that I'm using with my Predator style technology.
Wow, our budget seems to be going off the charts today.
We see a lot of infected cases. So yes, as Isabel was saying, so this has led to this reproduction rate now in Germany of 2.88, and
holy henchin.
Where was the? We must Yes.
So it must be. Where was the outbreak? Where was my helicopter?
It's one like the one
circling
in this meat factory,
it's
but then
Gutes,
there's also
Guteslau.
In I think Göttingen.
Mm. There was one a while ago. I thought in Schleswig-Holstein this like pork processing plant, but maybe I'm mixing things up.
Yeah, this was also an issue.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them, I think.
Does anybody actually know in this room what it is about meat processing facilities that make it so prone? Because I've heard of several that have been traced as like, you know, hot spots for.
One is because I know that it's because of the space that you have between each other.
I think that's the reason.
Space, and it's not clean properly. There's regulations.
I mean, trying to be completely
bad.
Clean in a place with all these
it's
dead
animals. It's not clean. As much as
animals,
people think it is. It's really, they wear face masks and stuff, all that. It's just you're too close to each other.
Too close to each other.
I mean, like, for example, there was a case with, let me just start with this.
And it's always cold.
And it's always, And it's like, for example, like, if Tesla workers are coming out and saying things like, our bosses are not letting us transition the shifts in a safe way, and we're having problems with, like, face masks, and management doesn't care. This is Tesla, like, well-known, future tech company, all that bullshit, right? How do you think a fucking meat factory is going to be like? They probably don't even give two shits about anything over there. You know what I mean? Probably half their workers don't even have papers. You know?
You think so?
I know in the U.S. it's forbidden to do any investigation in meat factories without their approval. So if you videotape something in court, you're considered a terrorist.
Whoa.
So nobody knows what's going on inside. They don't know anything. Huh. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's just really shitty safety standards going on.
There needs to be an undercover reporting we should send in next time.
Have you heard of the book The Jungle by Sinclair Lewis?
Yeah, it's one of the first books that led to
investigative journalism, of a meat processing plant.
Really?
In the egregious. Yeah, it was like in the 1800s, and it's just like a horrific book that, like, once you read it, you never want to eat meat again because of all, like, first of all, the way that the animals are treated is one thing, but then the way that the child workers are treated and, like, just kind of recycled, you know, like, one person, like, loses a finger or something and just, like, you're out, bring in the next, you know, orphan off the street to work.
It's a dirty industry generally.
Yeah, it's really horrific. And that actually, I think, led to a lot of reforms once it was published and circulated widely because, you know, the consumers weren't even aware.
Do you know what I love? I love the fucking turds, the people who fucking defend this stuff. Like, but it's their business. It's their, that's what they sound like to me. But it's their business. But their business has got to be, think of the business person who's got to pay for all that good. I hope that business person gets thrown into that Simpsons episode where Seymour Skinner's is pushing the kids into the blender. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
We were watching Simpsons before that, or I was.
You were all by yourself watching the Simpsons on your phone and not sharing it with the rest of the group.
Because we had technical difficulties. We had technical difficulties.
You don't need to share that with the listeners. They don't care. Anyways.
But yes, but is everyone feeling? Are you feeling more anxious now with this new jump, this 2.0?
No, I'm too
tired. Well, me personally, I'm gonna go to an even hotter hot spot in a few days here. So, you know, I'm actually feeling safer here than I would back in good old Cali where I'm going, which is you know, reported its highest numbers a few days ago ever.
And people really don't want to wear masks.
Really don't want to wear masks. But, you know, I mean, I'm going for my own personal
reasons. Why do you think people find it such an affront to their freedom?
Because they're dumbasses, dude. I'd say they're just dumbasses.
Because
they want to be oppressed so badly.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, it's just like they take any sort of, like, they believe that an individual risk is just their choice. And it's like they have this attitude of like, oh, if I die, I'll die. But like with a virus, it's not that simple because you could give it to somebody. Even if you get it and you like are totally fine, have a little cough, they don't understand that like you could kill somebody and they don't want to think about that and they don't want to take responsibility because a lot of people, you know, would like to believe that they exist in a bubble and that their actions don't affect other people because that is inconvenient for them. I do believe that that's what it is.
That's a good
idea. May I just read? I was on NBC News. Okay, that's what it's a great place to find your local news around the U.S. I think if you're abroad, you want to understand how the stupidity of America is, don't go to CNN, don't go to Fox, don't go to any of these big ones. Go to your local channel news. They got the best shit in there.
Like Wyoming, like WSTBC.
Comments honestly, on those web pages are hilarious.
Don't even need to go to a comment.
Comments on the website.
So Trump was recently in Tulsa doing a...
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma. He was doing a recent rally that came in for Juneteenth.
Where he got
well.
TikTok punked.
Oh, dude.
Got TikTok. But let me just read this. Let me just read you how stupid people are there to answer your question. Quote... A maskless rally goer waiting outside the venue said on MSNBC, okay, we had a friend who died from COVID and his son was on a ventilator. He almost died, he said. So we know it's real. But then at the same time, you don't know what the facts are. You feel like maybe one side plays it one way and the other side plays it another.
I like how your accent changed as he got stupider.
Slightly.
There you go, dude. There's your summary.
He like morphed into this.
This is literally the fucking... another one, let me just end on that one. Another one even said, he was like, this is all Obama's fault. And let me just say, I was not a Republican before, but now I'm a Republican because, you know, Obama. And you know what? Who ought to vote for a guy named Obama? Obama, just think of that guy. His name is Obama.
Obama
also,
was actually
Trump
born in China.
Trump's
and he
born president.
To the virus the whole time.
Yeah exactly.
Because his father was actually a bat.
They're not, there's no layer of complexity to understand you. They're just fucking stupid. They're just fucking stupid, that's it. They have
bad
education.
I mean, it seems quite logical that all these rallies, the people that will start dying will be more Trump supporters than non-Trump supporters, right?
That's true.
Of course.
Yeah. In so conservative areas where like they just flat out refuse to wear a mask or maybe even are more likely to believe that coronavirus is created by the deep state or the fucking Illuminati or George Soros or something are, first of all, yeah, they're less likely to socially isolate, they're less likely to wear masks, and unfortunately, a lot of them already have pre-existing health conditions because, you know, rates of heart disease and diabetes are much higher in those areas, unfortunately.
But it doesn't change the fact that the most people dying, like, way more people of color and black
that's
people
also true.
Are dying.
Yeah. That's true.
That's also
so,
true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think it's just that less healthcare is available for them?
Without dropping a name,
it's also in the UK, it's the same.
Uh-huh.
It's not only in the US, but...
Wow, yeah.
They
not access to the healthcare. Yeah, it's not as easy for them, I think, to get access. And then also like due to that, they have also a higher percentage of people with pre-existing conditions.
Yes.
How you call them.
Yes. No, it's...
Inequality has created a perfect shitstorm for this. Like, African-American communities are also prone to not having access pre-existing... Forget the hospitals. They don't have access to, like, good food, healthy foods. The Asian have jobs that are like, way more stressful. They have higher unemployment because of inequality, income inequality, and economic inequalities. Like, their stressors, even, like, through generations of, like... It's interesting because I was talking about this with a medical professional. Like, they were saying, like, even, like, there's issues with, like... You don't realize, like, stress can also change your DNA.
Of course.
And then, like, this gets passed down from
intergenerational trauma is a thing,
And this is all problematic.
I will say that even in Hamburg, there is a comparison. This neighborhood Veddel, which is predominantly people of color and migrants... Apparently, there's, like, one doctor that serves this huge area that's, like, thousands of people living there. And if you compare that to, like, Eppendorf or, like, even Schanze, the concentration of family doctors, like, personal physicians, is much higher than, you know, one doctor for, like, 2,000 people. Or I'm actually not sure where I might be pulling that number out of nowhere. But
no
I know
will,
that
no
it's a very
check.
Densely...
No one's fact-checking.
Veddel, we all know, is
Fake
a very
news.
Densely populated area. It's just apartment blocks as far as the eye can see. So that's another more local example of inequality and how that crosses lines of race and migration, etc.
Yeah, if you have to wait two months, then maybe you're not bothering at all to get an appointment.
Exactly, or knowing that you might have to get on the train for 30 minutes or 45 minutes to see a doctor. You know, it's much more difficult in those neighborhoods.
But for this air factor, for this 2.88, kind of like, I think... I don't know. We shouldn't freak out yet, because I think this aim of having it below one was when the pandemic was a bit more in force in Germany. So, of course, now you have way less cases. So now, of course, when there's like this two hotspots where there's like 1,000 people at once, kind of like getting infected, then of course this number is going to be higher.
Mm-hmm.
Momentarily, but let's see, like, if it's in 2 weeks and it's still increasing, then we should start to worry, maybe. But
and Hamburg, it still seems relatively stable. And Hamburg's, you know, not as bad as Bavaria in terms of deaths per thousand or per million people. Do you have any reason for you think that's
just
chance, or you think Hamburg is better, more responsible, or...
I mean, we discovered it firsthand a bit. Like, I got tested and Andrew also got tested, and it was like very like convenient to get. Like, of course, when I had like thought maybe I could have contracted it, then I called the doctor, and then they came and did the test just because I said like, yeah, I've been in contact with this one case. And then when you came back from Mexico, then you also had no problem getting one from the pharmacy, right? So I think in Hamburg, they are kind of like doing more tests generally than maybe in other parts of Germany. But I can't really say because I only know from here. But so far as I heard, they're good with the testing, whatever the test means. But like,
yeah.
It's the only thing we have at the moment.
Yeah.
Kind of.
I think you'll get a test fine, Susan.
Hopefully. Back. Yes. So yeah, as I said earlier, I'm going to the U.S. for... 2 weeks, and hopefully, you know, everything works out okay, and I can get a test when I come back. I'm still gonna quarantine, but you know, I'm gonna play it safe. I sure as hell hope so, or I'll just like be careful and not get hit by a car. Wear a helmet when I ride a bicycle.
That's legitimately a fucking problem.
The difficulty is because I have this like this insurance to international insurance through my German health insurance, my public insurance, but because of this travel warning restriction,
it doesn't cover you.
It might not cover me. I'm not sure.
I think a lot of these insurance companies have sort of opted out with the whole corona thing, because for them it's such a financial risk, like the amount of costs involved.
But they just charge such a high premium, it's probably not even...
I mean, a lot of travel insurance, they just shut it down.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You just can't buy travel insurance from a lot of companies
now.
You can from some.
I better not get sick then.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I know. It's you really.
What a great country.
You'll be
all
right. Maybe don't go to too many Trump rallies.
I'm not going to go to any fucking rallies. Don't worry about me.
Maybe not too many demonstrations.
But make sure to reserve a ticket for like 100 people and then don't show up as well.
Yeah.
Did you see the video of him? There's a video of him walking down the on the little helicopter he flies into, and he looks like he's gonna cry. It's so amazing. It's great.
And he kind of like goes like this also from the.
Yeah.
Like after the
yeah.
one yesterday.
Yeah, he looked like he really about to cry. Like what a little baby.
Yeah, he really got hacked. That's awesome. Who knew TikTok would bring down Trump?
But then he said like, yeah, this was the media. They were scaring the people because of the virus. Then they didn't show up, as if there's like 800,000.
And then he claimed a million people showed up too.
Yeah. For those who don't know, what happened, as far as I understand it, is it became a campaign on TikTok to sign up and like get these register to attend rally.
Some like K-pop
because you just needed a phone number to do it. You just needed and K-pop fan. You just needed a phone number to do it, and then you got sent your free ticket. And so like a million people registered to attend this, and so the Trump campaign had to budget for that many people turning up, and then some people couldn't come, and so they set up all these events outside the stadium as well, because the stadium I think could only hold
19,000.
So they were like, oh my god, there's going to be this flood of a million people turning up to this Trump rally, and they said all these events around, we got to make capacity, and then only like 6,000 people.
Those people,
6,200 people.
Yeah,
not
seriously,
so he got totally punked by
those people.
K-pop.
Honestly, the response.
But the K-pop fans, they are the heroes of the hour, kind of. You know?
No, but
it's good. Yeah, it's good. Round of applause.
They took a bullet though, because now the Republican National Convention has their phone number, because like that was what one of the campaign officials said. Like, you know, whatever, they may have won this round, but thank you for the contact information, bitch. They didn't say that, but
but what are they going to do with these?
I guess spam them. I don't know. call them and yell at them.
Prank call them in the middle of the night. Now, and then we will come back and we'll talk a bit about culture in Hamburg and how it's affected by the current coronavirus. But for now, you can sleep in a bit of fire that's burning all around us. Sleep now in that hot, hot fire that we're
so
in 2020, year of fire. Also reference to, remember for Australians, it started out with the whole country burning down.
Yeah, nobody even remembers that. Nobody remembers that. Nobody remembers that the U.S. was on the brink of war with Iran. Nobody remembers any of that shit.
Yeah, isn't it weird?
So 2020 is my poor sister, you know, she's great, but it's affecting her. She's usually a very positive, happy person, but this year has taken a toll on my sister. You know,
oh, your sister.
Because they're in Sydney. Like Sydney was like surrounded by fire for 2 months, and then now like Corona's hit, and the kids are stuck at home, and
besieged.
And people in Australia, lifestyles. Any news on their lifestyles changing? People changing anything? Like, you know what? Maybe we should take some shit more seriously.
I mean, they're not as extreme as Americans. They do follow the rules, so everyone in Australia do.
Yeah.
Not as many people wearing masks as here, but people do stay at home and they don't travel. Like, they block off all the states and people don't complain about any restrictions.
Really?
Yeah. Australians are very, like, I don't know, they don't have this kind of, they never had to fight against anything, because when I talk Australia, you know, I talk like colonized Australia. There's never been, like, any wars or anything, so everyone's just so, just take what if the government tells you, it's a bit like Sweden, they're just like, government tells us to do it, it's always peaceful here, they know what they're doing, we follow the rules. So the rate is quite low, and everything just closed down like completely, and it's slowly opening up again now, but.
What happened? Yeah. Why did you guys got all the.
There's no like demonstrations against, like a lot of people demonstrated for Black Lives Matter and stuff for the indigenous community, and for a while they made that illegal too, and then people were like, come on. Because they allowed football, it was sort of like here where they allowed football in a court case the same day as they blocked a protest.
Yeah, okay.
So then they had to be like, all right, we'll let demonstrations.
Yeah.
But still, people, if you just say you can't demonstrate, they just won't demonstrate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I see.
But they had football also without the audience, right?
Yeah.
Then it's more traceable than like a protest with like thousands of people.
Yeah. I
did you all get the app?
The Corona. I did not get the app.
You have it?
I was like thinking about it, and then I got it. Yes.
How does it work? That's like
it's
my first
just
question.
You just download it. You don't sign up or anything. Like it knows like that it's downloaded on like this device now, but you don't give away anything. And then it's kind of like it seems like a very okay thing. So I was like, I had my worries because of this Bluetooth technology, but then it's not like. They say that it's not really safe because potentially it can be hacked in like a very specific way, but it has never happened in the wild. So it's like under certain conditions you can do it, but it's not really, So I'm like, okay, maybe now when like millions of people have it, then they will maybe come up with something. Mm-hmm. But I just read about it a bit, and then it's like, and it just stores when you're in like close contact with somebody, then it stores their ID on your phone. And when they kind of like decide, also when they get tested, you're not mandated to put it in. But when you get tested and you want to put the info in and it's positive, then the people that were in contact with you, they get a warning that they have been exposed. And then they can themselves again decide whether they take this like quarantining themselves for 14 days or whatever. So it's not really like, it's of course by Robert Koch Institute and by the Bundesministerium. It's kind of official, but they have very like not really any
it's very
information about your whereabouts.
That's
why they put it with the with the Bluetooth as well. Yeah. So they don't have to sync it with your GPS.
Okay, that's perfect. Yeah.
No, it is interesting because you don't actually get told who tested positive. You just are told somebody that you were in close proximity to in the last however many weeks or days tested positive.
Yeah, does it have a time?
Yeah, like 14 days.
14 okay, 14 days tested positive. You know that they had the same service available if you tested positive for an STD. You could call a service that would call all of your partners and say, somebody you had relations with tested positive for chlamydia, go get tested. But you didn't have to go through the humiliation of calling all of your ex-partners. So this is kind of like that.
I want to burn myself there and just be like,
It's kind of like that, except more, automated. Yeah. And my question is, like, if you are sitting, like, how do they measure close proximity? Is it like...
That the YouTube can
Bluetooth can connect.
Ah.
So Bluetooth only operates in a limited range.
2 meters,
yeah.
3 meters,
yeah.
Okay, because like,
so
yeah.
So it's just,
I
have the app and Isabel has the app installed right now, it'd be like, hey, you have Bluetooth. Hey, I have Bluetooth. What's up? Want to get my user ID?
Want to get my random
user
code? Yeah, it's
like just getting all your user codes. Hey, maybe I'll call you sometime if I get Corona.
Yeah.
We will remember that you're
No, I mean, like, my question was like, yeah, if you were, like, sitting in a restaurant with somebody, you know, sometimes I've been sitting in restaurants and, like, the other person in the table is not 2 meters away, would I just... Damn. What if my phone... I mean, the thing that I would be worried about is that my phone would just start blowing up.
From all the people.
From all the people that had gotten sick around me. And I just like, I'm like, wow, shit. As soon as I get out of quarantine, you know, and go to a restaurant, it goes off again.
Is that another WhatsApp message? No. That's another another Corona.
Just watch, everyone starts panicking. Like, it's like the scenes like in, what is that show? Where it's like, everyone just starts writing. They're like, in a restaurant, just goes off. Oh my God, Jerry! And just like flip the table, start running
Rick
through
and Morty?
Burning everything down. For me, this is all chaos in my head. My big question is, how do they know? Like, where's the testing information coming from? You know what I mean? Like, do you put it in yourself?
You have to get a physical test. And then you can decide. I'm also using the app. And then you can, if you get the positive result, then
you
get like a QR code or like a telephone code. You can.
Then they'll do it?
And the QR code that you get, you can... let the app know.
Yeah.
See, this is what
but
I thought.
But nothing is stored anywhere on any servers, but it's only on your phone.
Okay.
You get the codes from the other people, and they get your code, and it's stored on your phone. And after 14 days, they delete it from your phone.
But so it's actually your phone that sends out to all these other user IDs.
Yo,
shit got real.
How much you want to bet that? How much you want to bet, like, in about 3 years, we're going to get another, like, WikiLeaks that the U.S. government, like, hoarded all this without anyone knowing. I bet you anything in the next 3 years, you're going to mark my words. We're going to get, like, it's going to be like some other Edward Snowden. It's going to be like, oh, yeah, they knew all the entire time, and they tracked all of you guys. And
yeah, but they could already track everyone, like, with GPS
it's Germany,
anyway.
Yeah,
so.
And, like, there's, like, a lot more data of you that your provider already has. But this
true.
Is, like, a huge open source project that they did now. Right. Of course, they did, like, the Telekom and SAP, they did it for profit, but it's all open source. So, like, the positive things, they outweighed it for me. And then I was like, yeah, let's try this.
Mm-hmm.
It's all downloaded. I'll download it. You've convinced me.
Yeah.
You have
convinced
me.
Woohoo!
You convince us, and who knows how many of our listeners. Citizen
yeah.
M is
Citizen
going
M.
to download it now.
Yes.
You've saved lives.
I've saved
Isabel
I've
has
saved
lives.
Lives.
Yes.
But with an R factor of 288,
yeah, and then we watched.
I saved like more than 6 people today.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's
we'll
it.
Call
okay.
it the FS car effect.
We were talking about something else, right?
Well,
when
the intention before we went off to the COVID tangent, which is easy to happen during these COVID times.
Yeah.
Is because things are opening up again, but one of the things not opening up is sort of clubs and this kind of culture of like theaters and performances and things like these.
Theaters will open up after July.
After July.
That's what they said. Like
yeah.
Movie theaters. Talking about movie theaters or actual
like
theater
like
place?
No like production like theater productions and.
Yeah,
you know.
I think the movie theater you can already go again, right?
Yeah.
No. I think it's in Hamburg because I want to go recently and they said that they made a an agreement with all the other movie theaters. I think
movie.
It's like after July 2nd.
Okay, because the theater
it.
Inside theater performances until end of August are not happening, but there's some outside performances going on since a few days.
Ah.
I see.
What are these? Can
they're
you give us more?
I mean, Kampnagel just did it with their like live art festival.
Okay.
They kind of like had things happening on the plaza, which is like the big outside space. There were people performing there. And then God's Entertainment, this group from Vienna, they did kind of like an Europe, they called it Europe to Go. They did a little like tour around the premises of the Kampnagel. But all out, like you could go in for this one like performance, but like, yeah.
Okay.
So they're finding ways to make stuff happen. Also, Thalia is reopening again the end of the month. They're doing something on their parking lot in Gaussstraße in Altona.
Ah.
And I think a lot like these are the two that I know of. But yeah, so we're all kind of like because I work in theater. I'm a like freelance dramaturg and production manager right now. So we're kind of like also. Yeah, trying to think about the fall, what happens there. We're kind of like making appointments, but then we're also like when we're now creating a piece, which we're doing in August, we will think about what happens when we have to do it outside or like more of like a one-on-one performance or whatever. So this is now all kind of like, yeah, we need to think about what happens.
Yeah,
kind of like, but nobody knows what's really.
And you think this is will just be okay, and then after Corona, we'll try to go back to normal, or do you think it's inspired a lot of new ideas with doing theater and these kind of new
I don't know,
and environments?
Like, of course, a lot of people then jump to this, like, okay, let's now do streams and like let's do something else. But there's been people working in theater that are like kind of like. Organically kind of like wanting to work with like new media and streaming, and when it's like then for me it's like it's nice that they find like ways to deal with this and do this kind of like new media theater or whatever. But then for a lot of like classical theater or performance or live art, I would say like it doesn't really translate into online things, like the first weeks or so I was like, oh, this is nice. I can have a cigarette and a drink, and I would watch something on my laptop. But I mean, it's not like I don't know if it should really go in this direction of like, yeah, let's do more like online streaming stuff or whatever.
Yeah.
But just to find ways to be close to people and in a different way,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
so in a safer way.
I mean, for me, I remember, like, you know, in early April when the lockdown was just, like, kind of starting to begin, all these clubs were doing live streams. And, you know, I went in and I, like, donated and, you know, I it was kind of nice because it was, you know, the camera was set up and you didn't have to worry about, you know, the smoky atmosphere. But it was really, after a while, dancing alone in your room is really sad and you feel...
just the way you're saying it right now sounds sad.
It's not the same. And after a while, I was like...
We had dance parties.
I got
so,
burnt out.
It was three people dancing on their webcams. It sounds like I'm selling like some sex webcam show, but no, but it's true. She's totally right.
It was a little depressing. I was like, this doesn't cut it. It's not the same. I have my headphones in because I can't blast the music because of my roommate, you know, and like, yeah,
Also, have you, you've all been to, obviously you work in theater. You've been to a live theater show?
Yes.
No, yeah. Hell way no fucking live streaming is going to replace that. There's something about being there.
There's an energy,
there.
I think.
Yeah, the energy. Like, especially sometimes I go, like, it's like, there's this cool breeze that, like, comes over. You feel this, like, coldness. It's like this suspense, electricity in the air. You can feel it.
Just being in a theater is, like, with the seats and everything. Yeah, even if you have, like, a home theater, like, if you have, like, a, you know, giant TV screen, it's not ever going to be the same as, like, going into a actual movie theater and getting into the seats with all your friends and getting the popcorn.
No, of course not. It's an experience. That's the thing people don't think of it. Like, your home theater is not the same. It's not the same experience. And, like...
Of course not.
There's also this other thing where it's like, I think we're forgetting as a society, like, these things also give us cultural and societal value of our, like, community, of being somewhere. Everyone's like, no, we'll just stay at home and watch it. Stay at home. Everything is at home. I'll tell you this. I work at home. I have to study at home. I have to work out at home. I have to eat at home, sleep, do everything at home. I am genuinely fucking losing it.
It comes out now.
Now it starts coming out. Let me tell you, Dr. Phil.
You loved working at home. My God.
No, but I'm saying the stress.
People are so hungry for theater.
The stress. Yeah. The stress starts to, like, you don't notice it, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, like, what day is it? It's Monday. No, dude, it's Thursday. You've just lost track of time again. Like, people don't realize, like, this actually is like, time becomes fluid, and when it becomes fluid. You just start to...
You start feeling like you're losing... you're losing your grasp on reality. It's really... Yeah. It's a real thing, yeah.
And it's the thing, yeah. Not everything online virtual is a good thing. It has a cost.
It's not
watched,
the same,
like,
yeah.
And then they did, like, also... they couldn't have a premiere of One Piece. Then they did, like, small films, like... half an hour, 45 minutes of, like, small... where it was kind of, like, great because you could, like, focus more on the, like, when it's really filmed... for a stream or like if it's more a movie, then it can be great rather than this, like, full frontal view of, like, a stage where there's, like, something happening or whatever. So you can get creative with that, and of course we're, like, in Germany very privileged as creatives because there's, like, so much funding in, like, the state theaters, and then also in the free, so-called free scene, there's of course a lot less, but still there's, like, there's, like, a lot of people that can afford kind of thinking about different ways to be with theater or to work in theater at the moment. So
you don't think Corona has financially affected those people too badly?
I mean, the free people, like, the free scene people, they're kind of like, I got cancelled a lot, but then I have also my other job, which pays still 95%.
Mm-hmm.
So, this was kind of like, and they're kind of like, of course, in the next years, they will have to cut back on something. But then, of course, also, like, one production in a state theater is, like, so much money that when you cut one of them, then you have already, like, a huge chunk back.
But for now, thank you very much, Isabel, for your insights. We shall move on to the next song.
Wird ja auch Zeit, dass du meine Bilder likest. Hab sie nur für dich geteilt. Erstmal ein Like, Follow. Und dann kommt das Slide, Like. Hör doch schon die Hochzeitsglocken. Wie lange soll ich dich noch stoppen? Tata fast leer, komm ran und klär. Jetzt endlich, was hier noch nicht läuft. dir noch nicht reicht. Wird dir auch Zeit, dass du meine Bilder likest. Hab sie nur für dich geteilt. Erstmal ein Like, Follow. Und dann kommt das Like, Like. Hör doch schon die Hochzeitsglocken. Wie lange soll ich dich noch stoppen? Tu doch nicht so, als wenn du mich nicht liebst. Ich weiß, du liebst mich.
All right, we're back on FSK 93.0. I am slowly getting better at German, but it's a very long road. Just like some words are very long words. So the word we're talking about this week, this time, is a word that is Vergangenheitsbewältigung. So have you guys heard of this word?
I have not. Vergangenheit
just means past history, right?
Like yes.
The past.
Yes.
I don't know this word.
I don't know what the last second part means.
Is that violence? Or?
No, it's like getting over, kind of.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Or like, yeah, if you're like, yeah, ich bewältige etwas, is like, or when you get a big task and you like, you do it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're kind of like, okay, relieved that you kind of put this past you. And like, it's like something that's like a struggle to reach. And then when you have
overcome
it,
yes.
Yeah,
okay.
Then it's like,
interesting.
But it doesn't really work when you translate it one on one because it's not
coming to terms.
Yeah, it can be when you say it's coming to terms with your past, then yeah, this is maybe
coming
the
to
one.
Terms.
Yeah.
Okay.
And in Germany, it's been kind of an expression for how German culture and politics and society came to deal with the past of what happened in World War II. This is kind of its common meaning.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I don't know, Isabel, what you think, but it's seen generally as like a worldwide, best practice badge of honor in a way for dealing with these things, because it's like Germany went through the process. They in schools, you know, you learn about Nazis from a young age. You know, there's the giant Holocaust memorial in Berlin. There's all these museums, and you know, you turn on the TV and NDR and art. There's always Nazi documentaries.
We like to think that. Mm-hmm. I guess as Germans that we. We've done a good job with that, but kind of like, on the one hand, it kind of like really overshadows everything else that has happened in Germany's past. Like, we don't learn at all about like colonization or like the genocide of the Oberherero and Nama and all this kind of like colonialism that German had. And then they're like, oh yeah, but it was also not so long, and others were bad, were worse than us. So we like to think that we're doing this great job of like coming to terms with our past, but I don't really know if that's the case in a way, because we try to what we do with this whole education about it is that we kind of like. We established the fact that it's like, yeah, these were the Nazis, and they're like the one evil that we will not be again, kind of like.
Mm-hmm.
But it overshadows also like the real, to this day, kind of like the racist and colonial tendencies that are still the mark of this country. They still make this country kind of like, so it's not something really like this that's in the past that we've have succeeded in overcoming.
Yeah, right. It's not seen as a continuous improvement thing. It's more seen as
it's more that like, okay,
you broke your leg, let the leg heal. Or it's,
we've
let it heal now, like healing this wound rather than
the eye of death is literally the symptom of showing that it's not always perfect.
No.
Are you kidding me? Like this. The AfD is ridiculous. These morons are like, we should be proud of our history. Like, why is the Americans get to be proud of their soldiers and we can't be? Literally, that old guy, what's his name? Gotland or something? Gotland?
Gauland.
Gauland. fucking.
Well, this is
like
the blowback, I guess, from that. Well, they feel like it's been too much of that acknowledgement.
Yeah. He wanted to be proud of the Wehrmacht. He's like, why shouldn't we be proud of our soldiers who fought on the Eastern Front?
This,
like, Jesus.
Yeah, this was also
Christ.
This recent discussion in Germany of like if the 8th of May is they want to have it as this like Befreiungstag, so the day of liberation,
mm-hmm.
but it like nobody was liberated in like the people that the Germans put in concentration camps and the countries that they went to war with, they were liberated, but Germans were not liberated. They really much fought till the end and were like very like,
oh, wow.
enthusiastic about their Endsieg, you know?
Yeah.
So, but like, yeah, so it was not the day of Befreiung for Germany.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we like to think that like in the past of like,
I mean, yeah, for,
yeah.
But
for
it seems
symbol of like evil, and then everyone else can't compare to the Shoah
mm-hmm.
or to like what has happened. So you're kind of like, you're not getting anywhere, like, and you can say like, yeah, I'm not that, and you think about racism as this thing of like active hate, of like intention,
right,
so
yeah.
But that's not at all the case. So you can be racist towards somebody even when your intentions are like the best, and to be anti-racist
can
end up to be racist. So I think the thing is like, that's also like a lot of scholars are talking about this kind of like something like white fragility. I don't know if you heard about it.
I've heard
you know,
of the
this
concept.
Kind of like, yeah, there's bad people, hateful people. They are like, it's also what they say now about the police, you know, that
mm-hmm.
there's like a few bad apples or whatever. What they don't see is like
the institution,
the systemic, the systemic racism that this was built on, especially in the US, but also in other countries, where there can't be a good cop.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, that's different. Maybe Horst Seehofer is going to Anzeige now of this radio show as well. He recently threatened to put a take to court a journalist who said in her Kolumne, I don't
mm-hmm.
know how
column?
To
column?
Column, yeah.
Column?
She said that cops are trash, so he's now threatening to sue her.
Oh, cry me a fucking river.
Because the police, they sued her already.
If we're on that level, then Sherman's
and now Horst
gonna...
is like, okay, I'm
if you like
get
to
your
sue
next
me,
ticket 100, out of there.
Go blow me, you fucking pig.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Sherman's in trouble with that.
Yeah.
But do you feel like, I mean, because what's happening in the US now, it seems to be, I don't know, a seismic shift in the way people are taking action to try to get police reform and things like this. But
this
do
ain't
you,
the
do
first
you,
time.
Do you,
I mean,
sure,
I think that there
sure,
is a shift.
In terms of the scale of it, it's bigger than
it's much bigger.
Rodney King or any of these previous
and
movements.
You see a lot more non-people of color, more white people at these rallies, which is at least a sign of progress, because they can at least see that it is not just an issue with people of color, and that white people have to stand up and do something about this, because you know they it's very easy to turn a blind eye, and
that should never even happen. It should be like we're on the same side. Like the, mm-hmm. obviously, clearly the enemy is the white state.
Yeah, because they want to profit from whiteness, and they kind of like that. But I also hear friends of mine, like I have a black friend who's like, yeah. Sometimes I see myself kind of like excusing whiteness, or kind of like be like, oh, don't be so harsh to them, they are also, you know, like they still also, even black people, they themselves, they have this kind of like proximity, like they like anti-blackness in the black community is then another part where it's like colorism or whatever. So it's like a very like nuanced thing, and I think the one thing that you can, like, when you see this, that even people of color, not only the white, old, middle-aged man, can be a racist, but everyone kind of, like, is on a scale of, like, race, like, because we're in a racist society.
Mm-hmm.
So then it can be more of, like, okay, you are less racist, maybe, or, like, whatever, but more of a not shaming somebody for being it, but more of, like, working together to build a different system, or to take the system down, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But like,
and you don't
once
think
you
that,
get that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But do you think you need this Vergangenheitsbewältigung process of acknowledging the past as part of that, or you don't need
you
to go
to.
Through this educational?
You definitely. I mean, learning about it is it's major, because like I think that you might. you know, if you were not educated, you might just see, you know, the differences between, you know, different social classes or you know, you have to know the context about it.
Mm.
Like, if somebody who came from, you know, a white family, yeah, you know, very, very sheltered, and then just sees people of color living in rundown neighborhoods, they probably wouldn't immediately think, oh, it's because of all this horrible shit that happened to them and their grandparents before them and et cetera, going back all the way to the 1700s. You wouldn't think that. So you might just be like, oh, black people just don't know how to take care of their neighborhoods.
Yeah, it's it.
You know? So, yeah, I think that a lot of it is that. And, you know, the U.S. education system sucks in terms of teaching people that, I feel like.
Oh, yeah. Hell fucking you know? Yeah, it does. Are you kidding me? It's a fucking garbage. It's pure goddamn garbage. It's hot, piling steam of shit. And that's why we see people going around, oh, but the Confederate flag, it's heritage, not hate. Are you kidding me, dude? That motherfucker owns slaves. What the hell do you want me to sympathize with that? Mm-hmm. Heritage, not hate. Your heritage is fucking hate, dumbass. There ain't nothing in between it. Like, you have the audacity to tell people of color that their backgrounds are savage and wasteless and non-advanced societies. But yours somehow, when they owned slaves, fucking degraded and colonized parts of the world and revisionized entire history, that's your heritage. That is your fucking heritage. You're right, it is your fucking heritage. And part of your heritage is pure hate. And I'm not going to apologize, and I'm going to make you feel bad if I got to. Sorry, I'm a person. Okay, let me give you some background really quick. I grew up in a very racial, multicultural background, and it was segregated between all different classes and groups. And you really see, for example, white people, when they went to black neighborhoods, they would lock the fucking door. They would lock the fucking door. Take them to a white trash neo-Nazi neighborhood, not a fucking problem, brother. They unlock that shit 2 seconds. But it's just like, this is the everyday stuff that people don't see at all when you don't mix match. And you're totally right. When they don't learn about history, they go to these neighborhoods and they're like, yeah, why are these black people so lazy? And why are they like that? You don't know shit. Go back to your little area and relearn some stuff.
And you think it's good bringing all the statues down? And
hell yeah, mm-hmm. Bring them all down. Every single
one.
Yeah,
there's no reason to be venerating these people.
Yeah.
You know? Like, yeah, you don't have
Columbus
statues of...
There's a Columbus statue here in Hamburg. That thing? Are you kidding me? It exists? Columbus?
Yeah, they're now renovating also the big... for 9 million, they're renovating the Bismarck one.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're making it new again. So that it's... Hey.
But, I mean, you have people
he's
like
gonna
this...
He's going to have a water bottle next to him. Because I mean, the Bismarck Water Bottle Company.
There's a lot of shadiness, like even Robin Koch, you know, this Robert Koch Institute, and he was involved in all this funny human experimentation.
I mean, Hagenbeck's Tierpark.
Yeah, yeah.
Ever heard about their Völkerschauen? Mm-hmm.
I just don't understand why white people, for example, a lot of times, when I say white people, I don't mean everyone. We're talking about the idea of white people as well. It's on essence, like, you have, like, they're like, well, this is just how the person was. This is what they were. You have so many other people you could put a statue of. Literally, there's entire books you can find better people. I don't even care if it's not a person, just any other white person, put him up there. Like, the guy who cured polio, put a fucking statue of him. The woman, what's her name, who flew across the Atlantic? Like,
Amelia Earhart. Yeah, she
died, unfortunately. But hey, I put a statue of her, right? There's so many people you can put up there that are so much better. You choose to put the garbage, you choose to put the lowest common denominator,
word from Sherwin.
Bam.
He solved the problem. Well done.
And we shouldn't,
brilliant.
We shouldn't let this kind of like model like of Vergangenheitsbewältigung that we have in Germany distract from the fact that even though we learn about this in school, there's a lot of stuff that we don't learn about. And then also there's like still a very high number of crimes against like anti-Semitic and also racial crimes. Yeah. And like, so does it really like do as much, or is it more like a continuous process of like...
Right.
You know, like you don't put it behind you. But you should
like,
kind of like...
And we're done.
Yeah, exactly. It's a constant process. Yes.
See it.
Clean as a whistle.
You gotta,
All right. Well, thank you very much, everyone, for tuning in this week. It was a very deep episode.
Yeah.
It was very intense.
Very, very
no
high
toilets.
Quality conversation.
There was no toilet talk.
There was no toilet talk. This is the first time.
Ich bin ein Hamburger's where the toilet was not
this
mentioned at all.
This is a very serious topic, so we couldn't
let's give
really...
ourselves
bring in toilet
talk.
Who does
the applause?
Let's flush racism.
Flush racism.
Flush racism.
Flush racism. I love that.
Yes.